What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. And you think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers that they probably will never ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
One. Hey there, hill folk, and welcome back to another episode of Appalachian Intelligence. We are extremely, extremely grateful and thankful that y'all could join us again for another week, for another edition of AI. With you tonight, right now, your hosts, Justin and Ryan. Ryan, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing great, buddy. How about you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Life's busy as usual, but we have a great guest tonight. So we've always got to make time for them.
Oh, yeah.
With us tonight, coming from all the way across the pond, it's super late I think still just late, not early yet.
Super late.
On her end. On her end of it. But she's from the motherland, the old homeland. Good old Ireland. That was terrible, wasn't it? That was a terrible Irish accent. I'm sorry. Yeah. With us tonight, we have super loyal hill folk, JC. JC, how are you?
I am so good. I'm so happy to be here. Been looking forward to this for months.
So have we. Last time, people don't know, we tried to do this before. And you guys will know why I'm going to say this, but when we talk about certain things, it seems like everything goes haywire. Well, I got struck on the last time we were supposed to record with JC, no internet. It actually went down. I think my wife didn't come back on like midnight or 1 a.m. or something like that. Her and the kids waited up on it. I just went to bed.
And that day my washing machine broke.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
Yep, that's right. That is right.
Completely just died.
Yeah.
Had to get a whole new machine. Like,
so Justin prayed all day. Jace's got her Bible under her iPad. I got the crew up behind me. I just about knocked my microphone down. My bad, everybody.
Well, no, like Ryan said, we've been trying to do this for a few weeks now to get this conversation to take place. And I have prayed quite a bit over this whole, well, over the whole thing, but this conversation especially. But we're really excited. We're really interested to get into it and to hear from you, JC. First off, it's a pleasure to finally meet you, to finally get to see you face to face, even if it is, you know, virtually. I mean, I don't think any of us were willing to make a trip across the pond to sit down to do this, even though I would love. Me and my wife were just watching an episode of The Crown, and the Queen Mother was in Scotland buying this old rundown castle. And I was like, man, I was just grieving. I was grieving. Like, that's where I need to be. That's where I'm supposed to be. I can feel it.
This is what I always tell people. If you're going to come to the Isles, go to Scotland and then come to Ireland, because the energy of the land is so much different. And by the time you leave Scotland, you need a breath. Scotland's beautiful.
Yeah.
But Ireland is that, like, I came from California in the Bay Area, and Ireland is that. When you
nice.
The second you get out of Dublin, you get away from the city and you get into the land, you can just feel the weight of everything just melt off of you. So nice being in the country.
Oh, yeah. Man.
That's awesome. Well, JC, we're going to give this to you. Obviously, you know, we're going to have questions, I'm sure, and there's topics of conversation here that I'm sure that we'll get into. But you can do this however you would like. I know that you have had kind of a lifetime of experiences, you know, here in the States where you grew up, and then over there as well. So if you want to do this chronologically, you know, however you feel best it is to do it, just tell the Hill folk a little bit about yourself. You already did. Give them a little brief info. But tell them a little bit about yourself. And let us start hearing some of these crazy, weird encounters you've been through.
Yeah. So I had a plan. I prepped today.
Good. I love people with a plan, because I never have one.
Yeah.
I usually just like fly by, but we're gonna, because of your last episode, which was so perfect in timing, because you brought up clairvoyancy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more in that realm of gifts or abilities or sensitivities, there's more than just clairvoyant. There's each one links to a different sense that the human body has. So clair means clear. Voyant is seeing. So clairvoyant is clear seeing. Justin, you're totally clairvoyant. You clearly see. Like that girl with the car accident. You clearly saw her accident.
Oh, yeah. Plain as day.
Your wife has clairalience, which is clear smelling.
Hmm.
She's got a magic sniffer.
Magic sniffer.
Yeah.
There's clairaudient, which is clear hearing, which some of this mimicry could be a bit of that you guys hear. Clairgustance is clear tasting, which is not one that I have run into anybody with that. Clairsentience is clear feeling. So just getting that like that gut feeling, or that feeling something's off or something's about to happen, or you get hairs on your arm starts to stand up and you're just like, something's here, or you're getting that sensory reaction in your body. That's clairsentience. And then there's claircognizance, which is clear knowing, where you just know something and there's no reason why you would know it. There's no background. There's no, you didn't read a book. You didn't hear it anywhere. You just know this thing. So my gifts are strong with claircognizance and clairsentience. I have a little bit of clairvoyance, but it's not my strongest thing. And the way that mine works is when I'm speaking with someone, things just come into my head and I don't know where it comes from. My own belief is that it comes from God. It comes from source. And it's something that I'm supposed to share with that person because it'll give them insight on something that's none of my business, but they know what it means. So that's a little bit of, I guess, background on gifts. So story to start with.
Well, no, I appreciate, before you get into the story, I appreciate you sharing that with us because, I mean, as you well know by listening to the show, we're three idiots. Like, we don't know really anything about any of this stuff. So when we can have people come on and educate us in all of these different arenas.
Especially area, because this is something, you know, that we talk about, but we don't have any clue about how it works, you know. So we don't want to say things that may be, I don't want to say offensive because everybody gets offended over everything, but you know, we just don't want to overstep when we talk, like we know what we're talking about is what I'm saying. Sure. But
you want to be respectful.
Yes. Respectful. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
So think of it as an extension of the senses that we know of. You know, you can touch something, you know, when you touch something, it sends an electrical signal to your brain. It's the same thing, but extend further away. So it's not actually touching your skin.
Right.
For example, and that would be for any of them. You're tapping into something that's further away from your immediate surroundings and you're being affected perhaps through electrical signals, since we are such electrical beings, whatever it may be, you're tapping into something that's further away from you than what your normal senses would pick up on.
So it's like, you know, old school going and unlocking your car with a key that you touching it, it's hands on, it's right there, but using a key fob from 100 yards away, you're unlocking it. You're using these waves and all this different stuff to, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it.
Yes. Really do. That may explain all those times. Remember, Justin, I would tell you, or I would even mention to you something that I would want to eat, and then I would go home and what would be there? Exactly what I said.
Yep.
Like, so maybe my stomach is magic or my taste buds.
That could be.
Okay. Now I'll let you get. he's a unicorn for sure. Yeah. That's why I had to grab him. But now we can get into your stories. I'm sorry to stop you. Share that, but now we can get in.
All right. So there's one story in particular from my, we'll say teenage years. I think I would have been about 15 or 16 that I'll start with. And then we'll go into the big story. As I lose my voice now.
You're okay. You're okay.
My husband lit the fire for me hours ago, and it is so freaking hot in this room.
How is the weather there?
It's cold. It's cold and it's raining, and we're supposed to get frost next week. And it's pretty much rained since like June. A few nice days here and there, but yeah.
Yeah, it's so cold here too. Sorry to interrupt. That was for my knowledge. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. So when I was about 15, 16, I've had a very love-hate relationship with Christianity and my faith, and not so much with God, but more with the church. I grew up in a church, and specifically a Presbyterian church, and my childhood best friend's father was the pastor, and so that caused all sorts of wonderful chaos in our teenage years in itself. But in this particular period of time, I was coming out of a rebellious exploring with tarot cards and the Book of Answers and all these other tools that I really had no idea what I was doing with. But I bought a bunch of stuff, and then I decided, well, this is all evil because the church told me it's the devil, so I'm going to burn it. So, so I was at a youth group bonfire in Pebble Beach, and I decided that I was going to burn a few items. And there was 5 or 6 of us. And where I was sitting, to my right, there was 3 or 4 girls. And then to my left, there was the only guy in the group. Maybe there was 2 guys in the group. Oh, crap. Sorry. 2 guys and a girl on my left side. Nobody sitting in front of me across the fire. Completely open space. I was facing the ocean. There's a cliffside kind of to my right, a few yards away from us. So we're sitting there and they're chatting and I'm just watching the flames. And I'm kind of leaning forward on my knees and resting my face on my hands. And I look up and there's a man sitting across the fire. And I wasn't scared. I wasn't alerted. I just kind of froze. And in my head, I'm going, why are you here? What are you doing? What's going on? Can anybody else see you? And the description of this guy, he had aviator glasses on, kind of shaggy looking, kind of hippie-esque jeans, holes in the knees, brown jacket with like the tassel things on the arms, like a leather jacket. And he was just sitting there, just staring at me. Wasn't moving, wasn't talking, just staring. And I started to kind of feel a little like, you know, as you do when someone's just staring right at you and you're like, what the hell? Is there something on my face that like, or is my underwear showing? Like what's going on, right? Like, why are you staring at me? Why am I the center of your attention? Can you look somewhere else, please? And then I look up at the hillside or at the cliffside, and there is just 100, maybe 200 cloaked figures standing on the hillside.
Holy crap.
Now that was freaky. I wasn't freaked out by the guy in front of me, but I was a little freaked out by the hooded figures because they were just like long cloak from head to toe hooded figures up there. And it was so thick with them that you couldn't see the stars behind them. You couldn't see. It was just line after line after line, mass of them, which was very ominous and had a very weird, like, WTF moment feeling to them. So I look at the girls to my right. They're chatting away, not aware of anything. I look to the people to my left, and they're looking at me and looking at the hillside and looking back at me and looking at the hillside going, can you see that? Is that really there? Is that really, you know, we had one of those moments of like, you're seeing this too, right?
Yeah.
So We ended up leaving. I go home, and I didn't go up to my room. I went straight to the couch, and this couch was an old green leather couch that my mom got when I was small. We had it my entire childhood, and it was like the comfort zone. When you were sick, you were on that couch, right? Like that was the spot. So get on the couch, and it's leather, so it's like this chair. It's like really creaky and like squeaking and everything. I get all settled in, and I could just feel this like heaviness. And it was right at the front door. So in my infinite wisdom of 15 or 16 years old, I started kind of going into a meditation, going into prayer. And from myself, I kind of got a bird's eye view in my mind's eye. From myself, I could see a little silver light, really small little silver light. All around me was black, like in the neighborhood. It was all black. But then, as I started really praying hard and really like building up my own courage and my own faith, and no, this is not cool. We need to get rid of this. This needs to, you know, this has no dominion here. We need to clear this out. I saw heavenly light, which was gold, and it just expanded out from me to, through my house, through the neighborhood. And as I'm watching this, I'm like going up in the sky, and it's getting more of a sky or a bird's eye view of the whole town, of the whole county, of the whole state. Like it just kept going and going and going. And then it got to a point where it just kind of stopped, and I felt fine. I took a deep breath, passed out, slept through the night, no more stuffs. And that was that.
Wow.
Holy crap. The only thing I could think of was Legion. When she was talking about pointing at the heel. But the only other thing I could think about with the other dude across from you in the fire was Groovetown Jesus. Like maybe he was there to help.
You know, at first, the way that my brain was programmed at that time, my initial thought was, I just burned all this stuff. It's got to be the devil. Like, it's got to be. But I wasn't afraid. And I wasn't nervous. And I there was nothing about him that was ominous or threatening, or he was just a dude sitting by the fire. Like, you know, there was nothing threatening about him or creepy about him. Other than the fact that nobody else could see him. I mean, that was a little weird. But.
Well, I have to say that's one of the maybe the only time. I mean, obviously, you know, we talk about and hear all the time that, you know, these dark, oppressive spirits or entities, you know, whatever, show up and people through the power of prayer or, you know, say in the name of Jesus, you know, it gets rid or expels these things. But that's the first time I believe that I've ever heard of this kind of like visual witnessing of the light, you know, like getting rid of, and then leading into this kind of out of body experience to where you're like, that is nutso. Like,
and that's why I started with the Claire's.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you're Claire Jacy. But it's almost like, to me, it's like, I mean, as a girl, you know, 15, 16 years old, yeah, but, you know, that's, you're still a kid. To me, that's almost God granting you like, okay, look, I'm going to get rid of this thing, but to you and your state right now, your state of consciousness, I'm going to get you as far away as possible. Like, to me, that's awesome. Like, that's an awesome thing. And I just got one quick question. You said this happened at Pebble Beach, right?
Yes.
I'm not familiar at all, really, with the geography of California or geometry. But how close is this to the Santa Lucia Mountains?
One of them words.
Oh, I think they're south. Aren't they near LA?
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you for sure. Lance is our local. Lance is here, everybody, by the way. Lance is our local research guy. He'll tell us in just a second, I'm sure. But okay, there's folklore. Go ahead. I'll speak a little while you're looking. There's folklore around the Santa Lucia Mountains that I've heard a few stories from. And the people in this area, especially, you know, you said you were at a youth camp, but campers and hikers, yeah, with a bonfire going. Campers and hikers and a lot of these people around the Santa Lucia Mountains encounter what they call the Dark Watchers. And these Dark Watchers are tall, hooded, shadowy figures that they feel like is kind of watching from a distance, peak points, like across the way while they're hiking, but they're always kind of around. They're always kind of watching. Well, that's why they call them the Dark Watchers. So yeah, there's a lot of, I think I've heard a couple stories to where, yeah, there were more than a few.
It is 115 miles north of the Santa Lucia mountain range. Pebble Beach is, if you were to get, this is interesting. If you're getting into a vehicle and drive the 115 miles, it would take you 3 hours and 33 minutes.
What?
That's like the entire length of Ireland.
Well, jeez.
California's big. California is like the entire Appalachian Mountain.
Is that that kind? They have that kind of traffic though.
Oh no, that's just flat distance. If you were
well, 100
from Monterey, so Pebble Beach is in Monterey County. If you were to go from Monterey to LA County, it would take you about 7-8 hours. If you time it correctly, where you do not hit the worst traffic times.
Now, wow. If you're going to take that route, you have to drive a little bit. That's the best route there. Like, you have to drive a little bit north. You have to go around the Pfeiffer Big Sur State Park, it looks like.
Yes.
And then kind of back down below the mountain range and then kind of head back north to get to it. But that's the best route to drive, according to Google Maps.
Big Sur's a big Bigfoot area, right? That was big. You know, I said big a lot, didn't I?
You did.
Big Sur is 2 hours south of where I grew up.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting little, as soon as you said all these hooded or cloaked figures on this mountainside in California, like that's the first thing that popped into my brain was all these stories of these Dark Watchers that I've heard from campers and hikers, and not directly from them, but heard them on other shows, you know, read stories on Reddit, a lot of these different encounters. And still, I mean, 100 miles away, that's not exactly, you know, that's still within folklore range, in my opinion.
It's not far for a spirit to travel by any means.
No, especially when you're burning all the stuff that, yeah, especially when you start burning all the ways that they get in here.
Well, I was an idiot 15-year-old going, oh, Wicca, let's play with this. I'm going to be a witch. Screw the church. My mommy told me that I have to go to church, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this instead. And then I was like, yeah, that's not cool. I need to not do that. I'm not ready for this. So it burned everything.
Yeah, I get it.
I find fire to be the best cleanser. When it's time that, or if you start messing with something that you really shouldn't be touching, burn it.
It's funny, you made the exact potion you needed for that spell to call on the Dark Watchers. As you were trying to quit.
I wasn't trying to like make spells or anything. If you don't know what the Book of Answers is, it's a book that has like one-liner things. It's like a magic eight ball, but it's in book form. So you ask it a question, you flip through the pages, you open the page, and that's your answer to your question. Like, it's rudimentary at best. But I, you know, it's very possible that there was a boy in the youth group that I wanted to hang out with more. So it was time to go back to the church. I don't know. I was like 15, 16, who knows?
Hey, whatever gets you back in church. Well, no, that's a wild account. And I have to keep myself from saying wild story, because I always feel like story means that it sounds like it's, you know, made up or fabricated, but
yeah,
that's what these are. They're accounts, they're experiences.
But it's still a story.
Yeah, it is. It's
still part of my story.
Yeah, so for sure.
Just to add a little bit to this, Pebble Beach is, Carmel Bay is the water area around Pebble Beach, correct?
Say it again?
Carmel Bay, right? Isn't that around the?
Carmel Bay would be kind of south of Pebble Beach. It would be the southern section of it. Carmel would be, Pebble Beach kind of comes at a point, and Carmel would be lower, and then Monterey Bay would be on the northern side of it.
Okay, so just a quick Google search of Carmel Bay. Is that the correct way to say it?
Carmel.
Sure, yeah. Whatever. In the Monterey area, if you just type like tag those two words with paranormal in Google, there is a ton of hauntings, yeah, ghost stories, paranormal activity. There's like this bunches and bunches of those types of stories, and people are investigated, and all kinds of stuff that happens there or has happened there.
Type in Pacific Grove.
Pacific Grove?
Pacific Grove. That's specifically the town that I grew up in, was Pacific Grove. There's a white lady story.
There, oh, of course there is.
Yeah. At a graveyard. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a first thing that hit was the ghost haunting of Pacific Grove Cemetery.
Yeah.
Haunted doll shop
is full on and really creepy. There is a white lady that walks that cemetery, and it is so eerie, and the fog rolls in, and it's like Hollywood creepy.
Has anyone asked her to stop?
I tried to talk to her when I was in high school, and it didn't go very well. She wasn't listening, Ryan.
Yeah, they don't like to listen.
No.
Also,
no,
you would think if probably the best way to not have haunted dolls in your town is to not open a haunted doll shop.
Well, yeah. I think the Victorians had something really, really wrong with putting their children's hair in the dolls. That was a really bad idea, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that was a great experience. Great experience. I mean, not great for you at the time, I'm sure. It sounds terrifying.
Honestly, the way that my brain works, it was like, whoa, that was cool. How can I dissect this and figure it out, and what happened, and how do I explain this, and is it real? Was it my imagination? Was I dreaming? Was I actually asleep? Like, my brain goes into full analytical mode of trying to just rip the whole thing apart and figure out all the pieces and put it back together and see if there's anything that can be tweaked or like explained or whatever. And I honestly got nothing for you. That's just, it happened. It is what it is.
My brain says, ooh, that's terrifying. It gave me the willies. Let's don't go back to that anymore.
Yeah.
Ironically, that was my favorite beach, and I used to pretty much live on that beach. It was the best place to find abalone shells.
And after those dark watchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could keep the shells. All right, let's hear some more of your encounters, experiences.
I'd say that was probably the biggest one of like childhood, late childhood. Lots of little stuff. I've seen shadows pretty much my whole life. I grew up in Pacific Grove and Pebble Beach. We moved around a lot renting houses. So every couple of years we were in a new place, new house, new neighborhood, but in that area. And there was always something, you know, whether it was like a cat shadow or shadow person or weird misty things or strange sounds, lots and lots of lore and rumors and stories in the area. There's one spot somewhere in Monterey. I never went there, but it was called the Witch's Circle. And the rumor was that there was these giant boulders, and each time you went to this place, they would be in a different configuration. They would be moved into different spots. And it wasn't a place that you could get like heavy machinery to move them. It was like a hike up a hill into the woods. And there was a little clearing and there was all these big rocks. And every time you went, they would be different. I cannot verify that, but that's the kind of stuff that I grew up with, is these sorts of stories and rumors. And, you know, I always kind of chalked it up to the same as like, don't get candy from a stranger. There might be a razor blade in it. Like, yeah. let's see if there's anything else from that place. When this was only a few years ago, this was maybe 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. My cousin lives down in Atascadero near San Luis Obispo. And my husband and I would go down on the weekends and just spend the weekend with her and hang out, get away from my folks who we lived with and worked with at the time. And her house was, at first it was kind of like the party house, but the more we went, it kind of transformed into more of a homestead feel, more of a nest place, more of a real home. And there was one weekend that we were there, and her and her friend are telling me, JC, there is this freaking spirit that keeps coming out of nowhere, and it's like this really creepy shadow, and they're telling me all these stories. So me being the person that I am and having the attitude that I do to unwanted guests, which is, you get up on out of here right now, or you and I are going to go toe-to-toe, out, like full mommy mode, out. So I grabbed her sage and I start walking around the house and just kind of feeling it out, seeing what I pick up on. And I pass her front door, which is all glass. And there's this shadow standing in front of the door, like it's about to charge the door. Small shadow. I'm 5'1". Couldn't have been bigger than me, right? It wasn't like a 6 foot tall scary thing. It was like this little, like, had the feeling of like Peter Pan shadow. It was ready to run at the door. So my husband and I start getting into that meditation space, getting into that prayer space. I stand in front of the door as an extra like barrier. No, you're not coming in here. You need to leave. You need to get out. So we ended up doing a cleansing in the space. And there was so much sage burned that weekend. I'm surprised the house didn't float away. Like, so the spirit ends up going. We sage the whole house. We find another spirit in the master bedroom that had the feel of like a Native American medicine man, medicine woman, kind of chieftain sort of feel to them. They were politely asked to leave and they left. There was a another one in her son's room that was like a little kid. And these spirits are always, they're always so heartbreaking because you just want to like pick them up and hold them and tell them it's okay and like comfort them like you would a small child. But that one was also cleared. And then after we did all this work in this house, her life started to change and transform. She got out of a bad relationship. She went through all of these like growth spurts in her own self, in her own personality, in her own life, ended up getting married to a fantastic person and had two more babies. And the whole like experience of that house went from party, haunted, home, safe space, slightly redneck, which is fine, but safe space.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna
sometimes do? I mean, sometimes you just get around things that are slightly redneck.
Yeah. Sounds to me like redneck and safe just go hand in hand.
Smells like such.
Everything completely changed in that world. Every time we would go down there, it was lighter, it was better, it was the plants were starting to really like flourish and grow and not die in the damn near desert heat of Atascadero. And it was such a cool transformation.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That really is awesome.
I do not by any means take credit for any of the work that I have done. It does not come from me. It comes from God. It comes from source, whatever the hell you want to call it. It's not me, just a conduit. I do what I'm told. I learned a long time ago, when God speaks, you do it. You listen and you just go with it because there's a reason and you may not understand it. You probably won't. So.
Yeah, you're probably definitely not going to, but if you don't listen, you're just going to end up miserable all the way around.
Yeah.
I've learned that along the way too.
Go around the block 8 bazillion times until you finally listen, and then everything's just magically better. Just listen the first time.
Definitely. Okay. So we've been going for, not quite an hour yet, but we've been going long enough that if something was to happen, then we can still make a decent episode out of it. So,
the big story.
I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Okay. So, this happened after one of y'all's first powwow episodes. And it was one that Lance was on. Maybe not when you guys recorded it, but when I heard it was after I heard that episode. And that night I turned off the computer, I turned off the Wi-Fi, get ready to go to bed, I lay down. And in my head, I hear Lance say, "Tell them about Bruno." Speaking of when one of his students said, "Tell the class about Bruno." And then I got a flash in my mind's eye of the image that comes up every time you guys talk about him. And it's not just a shadow person. Do you guys watch anime at all? Or did?
I get it. Like my students do. I get it. I know what I have a pretty good working knowledge of just through them, but no, I've never really watched it.
Okay, so you know when the villain does the whole like, "Mwahaha, this is my plan," and they usually have glasses, and the glasses get all shiny, but the rest of it is silhouette, and there's the big creepy smile? That's what I see when you guys talk about him. That's the image that comes to mind. I don't know if that's what you see, Justin, but that's what I see when you guys talk about him. That is the image that comes into my brain, is that. So I hear Lance say, "Tell them about Bruno." I see that. My 13-year-old gets up to go to the bathroom. He goes downstairs, gets a drink of water, comes back upstairs, goes back into his room. I hear boot steps on the floor. And I'm thinking, oh, God, please, please don't be here. Please don't be here. I don't want you here. Please go home. So I end up falling asleep. A couple hours later, I hear my 4-year-old moaning in his sleep. Go in and check on them. I have 3 kids, by the way, 13, 4, and 2. Go in and check on the babies. They're fine. They're not covered, but they're never covered when they sleep. So that was fine. Go back to bed. My head hits the pillow and I hear this ungodly screech come out of their bedroom. I fly out of bed, go straight to my boy, 4 years old. He's sitting up and he's sick. Like he's throwing up and he's crying and the whole, you know how it is when the babies get sick, right? The whole thing starts. Now we have a nightlight in our hallway and the light is kind of a blue tone light. So it's not the strongest, but it sort of shines into their room. And what I saw in my son and on him and on his bed was blood just pouring out of his mouth and covering his whole front. And there was just a puddle of it all around him. And I mean, I saw the color red and I could tell that it was thick and it was blood. What I saw was blood. So I swoop him up, run into the bathroom, turn on the light. There's nothing there. I mean, he's got a bit of sick on his jammies and there's a bit of discoloration, but he had blueberries before bed. But it was not what I saw. What I saw was a waterfall just pouring out of his mouth. But it wasn't there when the light came on. So we get him cleaned up. My husband comes in and he goes, "Is that blood?" "No, it's blueberries. We're fine." Okay. He gets our son and takes him into our bed. And I go in with my daughter who woke up during all the commotion and I lay with her, try to get her back to sleep. As I'm laying there, see him again. I see Bruno again. So I start praying and I start doing all my meditations, all of my tricks, my energy bubbles, all the stuff I've learned over the years. Okay, settled. We're done, right? The next day, I emailed you guys with this whole experience. That night, my boy got sick again. It was after dinner and it was on the couch and everybody was awake and we thought, okay, maybe we're just running a bug. Like, that's okay. We're now sick in the house. We'll deal with that. That night, my daughter got sick. She was sick. The first night happened on Thursday night. She was sick Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Violently throwing up. From the second we went to bed until we finally got up in the morning, she was violently throwing up every 10 to 15 minutes. Sunday morning, about 5 a.m., my husband flies out of bed. He is violently sick, throwing up. His lasted about 3 or 4 hours. And then he slept the whole rest of the day. He was just in bed the whole rest of the day. I got sick Sunday night, Monday morning, same time that he got sick, about 5 a.m., 5, 6 a.m., violently throwing up. I have never thrown up so freaking hard in my life. Like, all the drinking in high school and college, all the partying, all the just normally being sick. I've had the stomach flu. I have never thrown up so high. It was like, I can't even explain it. I really can't even explain it. So I got sick that morning, stayed in bed all day while also dealing with my daughter being sick. And then the 13-year-old got sick Monday night. And he said the same thing. It was short periods for the adults, very short for my four-year-old. And my daughter was hit the hardest. By far, she was hit the hardest. Now, I was listening to Countercult podcast about a week ago. Outlaw was telling about an experience that he had where he was listening to a video on YouTube and the guy was doing a prayer, and it was after he had had some spiritual stuff happen with some weirdness, and he got sick upon hearing that prayer, like he was purging something spiritually. It finally clicked for me after I heard that. Whatever happened with us, we were spiritually purging some. Our bodies were, it was not a normal like virus. We were purging something. We had some sort of a reaction or some sort of a, I don't even know what you call it, but it was the same thing that Outlaw explained of just intense vomiting. So there was that. Now, what I think happened is when I had my second son, I shut down a lot of the spiritual stuff. I closed off. I switched gears. I needed to be a mama. I needed to focus on having babies and raising my babies and doing mom stuff. Lately, I've been slowly opening that door. And since we moved to Ireland, I've seen a ton of shadow cats. Tons. There's one that, like, I think he might have been my first cat. He messes with me. It'll come out of nowhere and just, like, right past me. And we don't have a cat. We have a Cocker Spaniel who's special, we'll say. But he's not a cat. So I've been kind of opening up that door a little bit. And I think somehow, some way, I tapped into something with you guys. And Bruno came by just for a, yeah, I can come here too. But we all, as a family, as a unit, were like, nope. You ain't coming in here. This is going to purge you away from us.
Yeah, put the walls up.
So, yeah. I mean, as you got started telling this, per usual,
yeah,
Justin's video in connection to the...
And then we talked about Bruno.
There Zoom goes meeting, and then he got kicked out. Now that we're kind of done talking about it.
Yeah, there's Justin. Back. Hey, Justin.
Look, guys, hey, I... At this point, there's no way that people are going to believe this. There's no way. But I made sure, if y'all noticed, I made sure that when she started talking about this story, I sat back and I put both my hands right here. Just yeah, so nothing.
That's how you froze up before you went away. So,
yeah.
It's every time. It's every time.
He's strong.
Well, strong. You know,
my encounter with him and my very brief visit, we'll say, that dude is strong. There is something there.
Well, you know, it's like you said in your email. Number one, I think that without any of the extra senses and all this different stuff going on, a mother's intuition is strong, super strong. I mean, you know your kids, you know what's going on. And just like you said in your email, could it have been bad for him? Yeah, sure. Yeah, could have. Could that have made him sick? Sure.
Most of us had blueberries, though.
Yeah. I mean, but you felt like, okay, this is something a little more. Something's going on here, especially with the way that in your mind's eye, you kept seeing your idea of Bruno, and you kept getting this sense of specifically him, that presence. Mm-hmm. So, and we, I mean, we have, this is the most intense Bruno experience we've had back from any of the listeners or whatever. But you know, by listening to the show, like, people's tech started going crazy. I mean, stuff started going nuts. And it's just, I mean, you, anybody that listens or watches this, you can see it. Like, it's crazy. Every time we start talking about it, boom, the internet's out, Wi-Fi's out, kicked out of Zoom, something's going on.
And it, it just makes sense. It kind of makes sense to me too. Sorry, Justin, go ahead.
No, no, go ahead, Lance. You're good.
It kind of makes sense to me too that, like, your son, after you had the experience, the visit, or whatever you want to call it, it kind of makes sense to me that he vomited and threw up blueberries too, because we all know, like, what's a ghost's favorite fruit?
It's a blueberry. So glad I made it back for that.
I thought you were going somewhere serious. You really had me. That was a
cheap laugh. That was a cheap laugh. Sorry.
Well worth it, sir.
I was about to have one of those moments of, oh my gosh, is he coming around?
Oh, Lance has come a long way. Now, look, don't get me wrong. He still shoots me down on a whole lot of stuff that I bring to the table. Don't get me wrong. Let's don't get it twisted. But
you have to. You have to. You have to be skeptical with this stuff. Because if you're not a little bit skeptical, if you don't bring a little bit of logic and analysis and trying to figure it out in the way that humans are designed to figure things out, science, you'll go mad. You will literally go insane. So you have to at least try. And if that doesn't work, then, well, that house ain't so bad.
Yeah. No, I agree. It
used to be, but not anymore.
Well, I don't know. And to me, it feels like, I don't know. There's still stories and you know, experiences and encounters that I feel like could be attributed to Bruno, to this entity, that I'll probably never share on here just because they're so personal.
Yeah.
But I mean, what? I don't know. It was like, this thing goes away for 17 years when I wanted to push it away, get it out of the back of my mind, give it zero energy. And then we got stupid enough to start a podcast and start making content about this stuff. And it's like, well, you know, we got stories too. And it's almost like we have put the energy back into whatever this is.
You open the door again. Just like, yeah, when I had my second son, I shut that door. I was not about to be dealing with that stuff right now. I had other things to do.
Yeah.
Now they're getting older. Now, you know, I'm further into my postpartum and I'm getting back to my own self and I'm starting to open doors again.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to go through a process of just being human for a while before you can play with the fun stuff.
Well, and the thing is, like, the intrigue is always there. You know, I mean, you want to know what this is. You want to know what it's doing. You want to know why it's attached itself here, or, you know, exactly where it came from or comes from. But that's the difference in, and Lance can tell you, that's the difference And when all this started 17 years ago, that I was obsessed. Like I was constantly, I was trying to figure out all that I could figure out. And the product of that was terrible. To now, it's more along the lines of, you're there, you're showing up, you're doing this different stuff, you're doing your little magic tricks, but nobody's really impressed. We're going to talk about it because it's a cool story. You're giving us a cool story, but I know that he can't come any farther than what he does. If he could, he would. So it's one of those things for me, like I'm at the point at the place now in my faith, and that's just the gist of all of it, in my opinion. But I know where that boundary is. I know not to become, we can talk about it. And he's going to pull little tricks like, cutting the Wi-Fi out and breaking a washing machine and, causing somebody's vehicle to shut down in the middle of traffic or, do whatever. But that's really all he's got. I mean, there's boundaries that have been set there that he can't do anymore.
And you being so much further in your own life journey, you have so many tools at your disposal that you can use to keep that in check, to keep it from getting out of hand, to keep him from gaining more influence or more power. Again, not from you, but from
God, directly from God. I got all kinds of tools in my big tool bag. I got socket and ratchet sets and wrenches and screwdriver sets. And
as long as you have a wooden stake in there, some iron, and a big bag of salt, you're good to go.
Bruno ain't messing with my DeWalt bag.
No. And that's lithium. Terrified of it.
There you go. Happy mineral.
But it is interesting. All this is really, when you first sent that email, I was like, holy crap. There's no way that this thing has this kind of reach. But
I know you messaged me on Instagram like the very next day.
Yeah. I was like, we're not going into formal email form. We're going straight to direct messaging on Instagram. We've got to get through this. But no, it's wild. And I apologize if this is somehow was Bruno made a visit over. If Bruno got to Ireland before I did, I'm sorry for that.
I feel like I should be the one apologizing. It was my voice that kind of brought it in.
Yeah.
That is true. So sultry.
That's what it was. That's what I hear when I go to sleep.
Every night I lay down, I just hear Lance's voice. What I've been doing this whole time is I've just been taking Lance's specific audio and I just mesh it all together. And that's it. It's all that it is. And it's like, how people go to sleep with these sleep sounds like thunderstorms and tidal waves and all this different.
Listen, boys, the new white noise. Your boy right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sultry.
Sorry, Jason. We've got way off. We went way off the rails here.
We derailed a bit.
Par for the course.
I expect nothing less from you guys.
Well, I'm really glad that you did send an email before we did all this because, when I got kicked out and couldn't hear the story, at least I know the story. So.
Well, if you didn't hear any of the story, you only know the first half of the story.
Oh, well, then I'm going to have to go back and listen because I'm not going to make you retell it.
Yeah. Let's get kicked out again. The first
night, but then there was a whole nother weekend.
Oh, well, that's great. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Bruno.
You'll hear it in editing.
Jackass. I just looked at this open parted doorway and thought about like him just standing there. Like, what? What'd you call me? I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
I was talking to Lance.
Hey, fella.
you the other Bruno.
No, I will say, I'll say this, and I was going to talk about it on our last episode, and I'm sorry, I know this is JC's story time, but I was asleep the other night, and this felt different. I don't necessarily know what this was, but I've only experienced sleep paralysis a couple times in my life. And both of those times, it was like this, and it's what most people report, is like this, just this overwhelming sense of doom. Like, you know, I can't move. Something's here. Like something is going to get me. Like something, I'm going to open my eyes and something's going to be sitting on my chest. You know, that feeling that something's watching you. You got eyes on you and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, I woke up the other night and I had that feeling. Like I felt like something's there. Something's right here. But I didn't have paralysis. I didn't have sleep paralysis at all. I could move everything. Everything was totally fine. But I felt that, like I felt that presence. So, you know, I just start praying, start, you know, doing what I do. Eventually, you know, a little while later, I go back to sleep. I mean, there's just nothing here. I'm looking around. There's literally no intruder that I can see. So might as well just go back to bed. So I went back to sleep. Got up the next morning, still felt like this. You know, I didn't feel this presence or anything, but I felt like just this sense of foreboding, you know, just this pit in your gut, in my gut. I got up, got ready for work, like usual, like I always do. I walked outside. And when I walked outside, the very first sound that I heard, other than just like, you know, the noises of the house and stuff while I was getting ready, the very first sound that I heard when I walked outside was an owl. There was an owl hooting over toward the field. And then here, this is the way weirder part, because, yeah, we have owls. Of course, owls mean a lot more to us than they do most people. But as soon as I heard the owl, I stopped because of obviously it piqued my interest. And then I heard kids laughing.
You have 180 too.
My kids were in bed. They were dead asleep. This is 6:30 in the morning. So I heard kids laughing, and then I felt that again, like right here. Boom. Felt that the same thing I felt the night before, that just that presence. I don't know what that was. It was it. That was the only time. That, I mean, I've done a whole lot of praying, was in the Word a whole lot, was, you know, doing what I do for my protection and stuff. But
you sure? Weird. You sure that wasn't Nick? You know how excited he is to go to work.
Yeah. I'm pretty positive. But it was weird.
Oh, man, that is weird, Justin. Hearing little kids laughing and sleep paralysis, you feel like something's there. It's an owl. She's probably watching you, too.
Well, I mean, she has been here.
Yeah.
Oh, she-devil.
She's a tricksy one.
She is a tricky one. And she shows up everywhere.
She's one that's really hard to get to F off to. Like it's.
Yeah, I don't know how you tell her.
Next to you.
Yeah, I don't know how you tell her to go away.
You straight up tell her F off.
Well, it's because you have so many 15, 16 year old JCs, like she was talking about, you know, her experience of people. It's because you have so many of them. And I'm being like, I'm not trying to throw stones here, but I'm just being totally honest.
Yeah.
you have so many of them, and she's become such a an influence in pop culture and all these different things, that you have so many of these rebels, these, oh, I'm going to go against the establishment and I'm going to start getting witchy and do this and do that and try to contact the dead. And they eventually start worshiping her. I mean, you've got entire sects and covens in Appalachia alone that worships her. It's crazy.
There's so much more to her, though. It's she's tied to astrology wrongfully. It's not the right deity for astrology, but she has tied herself to astrology. She's tied herself into this new revival of goddess worship, which that's not even the realm that she should be in here.
Is her tie to astrology through Xerxes or Hecate, the matron of witches?
So in astrology, there's all of the, like, the zodiac signs, and one of the placements is your Lilith placement. And it deals with, like, the shadow self and aspects that society has kind of deemed as a negative, but it's aspects of the human personality that you really need to integrate and deal with and embrace your whole self in order to grow and heal and be a better person and do all the things that we're supposed to be doing. But this entity that has taken on that name, that has taken on that kind of identity, is not the same. She's taken it on. She's taken the name Lilith, but she's not, it's not the same entity. It's different. I don't really know how to explain it, but she's not that aspect of astrology. I don't have the right words to explain it.
No, I get what you're saying. She sticks her nose everywhere where it don't belong.
Yeah.
Oh, nasty she-devil.
Very, very tricky. You know, she almost feels fey.
Yeah.
Almost, but not, like, there's something kind of off about it.
Yeah, the bird feet, that's what made me think.
Well, but if you go back and you look at it the way exactly, it could be Baba Yaga, it could be Morgana, it could be Brigitte, like all these different goddesses and that were worshipped in that area, the area where the Fae are the most popular, Scotland and Ireland, Wales, these places. You had all these goddesses that were portrayed with wings, with bird's feet, with, you know, all these different, that were still like a amalgamation of these birds of prey and this goddess mentality. And it's in every civilization. It's in every culture. It bleeds into this whole woman in white thing. It bleeds into a lot of. No.
Goddess, she's a fae. She's not a goddess. She's not on the same pedestal.
Right, it's, yeah.
You guys deal with, it's almost like she's trying to upgrade herself to a higher status.
Yeah. Well, the origination of the name, when you're like in the book of Isaiah and in the Hebrew, when it talks about the Lilith and the Lilitu spirits, they're demons. I mean, they're flat out demons. So then that leads into the realm of, okay, what exactly is the Fae? You know, are these different spiritual beings that they can choose a side, or they can be in this neutral ground to where they're operating one side or the other? Or, you know, could she, again, have stuck her nose where it doesn't belong and took on these different names and these different characterizations of, and, you know, and pushed herself in that kind of area too, and being like, hey, you know, I'm just Faye. I'm Faye like the rest of these, everything, you know, it's, that's what I'm trying to like get out. Like she's put herself in all of these different scenarios and situations based on what the people in that culture believe, whatever their belief system is, whatever is going to make her the most prominent in the people in that area. That's what she's going to be. Like Mexico, for instance, you have the, what are they called?
Quetzalcoatl.
No, not Quetzalcoatl. She's not the winged serpent. The brujas that can turn themselves into anyway,
I know what you're talking about.
Whatever.
I don't remember the name though.
There's a name for it there. But then they also have all this folklore of La Llorona and, you know, how this is this lady in white that's always been seen and always has to, she drowned her children. I mean, it's always comes up. Like she's always incorporating and putting herself based on the belief system and the folklore and the mythology of these people. You can literally go to every country all around the world and there's going to be a piece of their folklore that I can look at and say, oh, yep, that's Lilith.
You know what's interesting, though? There's one piece that always fits with her. And that is an act of betrayal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In every one of those stories, there's an act of betrayal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it usually involves water and children.
And water, I don't know. Memory.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, JC, you got anything else for us?
I have one last thing for you, but it's not a story. Well, I mean, it's kind of a story. I giggled like a maniac when I made them. I have something that I'll be sending
you. Oh, sweet. Looking at me
like, you are out your mind. You've completely lost it. I'm buying you a straitjacket. Like I was giggling like a crazy little child. See if I can get it.
Nice. Oh, yes. That is
nice.
That's so cool.
That aren't watching the video, I will post pictures on the Discord, and I've been waiting to put these on Instagram until we recorded this. These are little holy ghosts.
That's awesome.
And I kid you not, I was giggling like maniacally. They're so freaking cute. And I made a bigger one. So we've got the little keychains and the bigger one, and they're holding little crosses.
That's awesome.
So cool.
Nice.
Well, we appreciate that so much. I'm going to set that right there. Had to figure out how my hand worked on this reverse mirror. Wait a minute. No, that's awesome. Those are awesome. We definitely appreciate that.
I got to make two more big ones for you guys, but there will be a keychain and a big one for each of you.
Nice.
And I'm going to put in the Wendigo as well.
Yes.
Because why not?
Oh, nice.
Man, I hate to say it, but that's the cutest Wendigo I've ever seen.
It is.
He's so cute. He's like the friendliest Wendigo you'll ever meet. Like with his little heart nose.
Now, do you sell these? Like, is this some kind of business or is it just like a hobby that you do with this crochet? I guess that's crocheting, right?
It's crochet, yeah. It is a pandemic learned hobby that I sell at craft markets.
Okay.
Local market. But I am in the process of doing some sort of online something. You can find me on Instagram, hallowed_haven. And that's really the only place that you will find me. It's just Instagram. And the Discord. I am always in the Discord. but yeah, so that's if anybody wants one, come check me out. We can figure it out. I have a card machine now, so yay. I
feel nice.
Well, yeah, definitely heal folk. Go follow JC at hallowed_haven on Instagram. Go look at the awesome little crocheted critters that she creates. Man, I'm getting good at this alliteration, even when I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
Crocheted critter that she's creating. We'll be showing off our Holy Ghost. I'm going to take mine into church with me every Sunday.
You're getting a keychain. You can put it on your keys.
Yeah, yeah. I'm taking it in. I did take a picture. Hold on. Let's finish this thought out, Justin. Get it together. Go follow JC on Instagram at hallowed_haven. And if you want one of these cute little crocheted critter creations, send her a message and be like, hey, I want one of these. Let's work it out. And I'm sure that she would appreciate it. So be sure to do that. And then back to where my mind was trying to go. Last Sunday, I did take a picture. Rachel brought in her Harry Potter like journal or whatever that's got like, all these different things on the cover and her magic wand that changes to a pencil. It was laying in the pew right on top of my Bible and it was like crossways like this. I had to take a picture of it. I sent it to somebody. I don't even remember who I sent it to now. I was like, this is how we roll at my church.
The only way to roll.
Harry Potter and Jesus, baby.
That's right.
There's so many Christians out there that just tune completely out right there.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter's the devil.
You know what, though? God created everything, right?
Yeah. Even J.K. Rowling.
God created crystals. He created salt. He created water that can be blessed and cleansed. He created. So use the tools that he created.
In the right way.
And live not yeah. in the world, but in his realm.
Yeah. Agree. 100%. 100%. Well, JC, this has been fantastic. Again, I'm sorry that it took us so long to get this thing going and to officially have the conversation, but I'm glad that we did. It's been great. It's been great having you on here. Hopefully, some of the hill folk flock to buy some critters from you. And if
pick
anything
a
else comes
of pickled
up,
peppers like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and, shut up, Brian. If anything else comes up, you know where to find us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let us know. But this has been awesome. We appreciate you so much coming on. We really do.
Yes. Thank you so much.
So much.
Heel folk. Oh, Ryan, you doing it again this week?
No. Go ahead.
You can. It's all right.
Please,
I'll let
sir.
You.
I insist.
Okay. Heel folk, you know where to find us on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Discord, YouTube. Send us your stories at AppalachianIntelligence@gmail.com. You can support the show many, many different ways. You can support us financially over at Patreon at patreon.com/Appalachian_intelligence. That little Holy Ghost is awesome. It's stealing the show right now. You can, but the biggest way that you can support us, you can also click the one-time donation link. It's listed in the show notes. The biggest way you can support us, though, is by sharing the show. Share the show however you're most comfortable sharing it. Just tell everybody about it. Just tell everybody about these idiots over on AI. The good AI, not the bad AI. We've already established that.
Yeah, the AI you want to take over the world.
Yeah. You want this AI to become... No,
literally. We're too lazy for that.
Eh, maybe literally. Maybe literally.
That's a lot of work.
I mean, my last name is Kaiser.
Yeah. He does have tendencies.
That was probably off-putting.
Well, I but just you meant know, to you... take over the world. That's
yeah, that's what I meant to.
Yeah.
But you know all those places. You can find us, all the ways you can support us, all that good stuff. If you want to send us cool stuff, like little crocheted Holy Ghosts, you can send those to P.O. Box 855 Haysi, Virginia. That's Haysi 24256. We'll show off, post pictures, show on here, whatever comes our way. And if you want to send like non-perishable snacks, we'll eat them on the pod too. Like we like to eat. We like snacks. So that's something that we really haven't got yet that I would look forward to somebody sending, since this is the third or fourth time I've mentioned it now. I mean, yeah. You shouldn't have to make me beg. This is getting ridiculous. Send us snacks.
Send yeah. Justin and Lance special snacks without them knowing they're special.
Send you guys some European candy.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, I waited till we had a guest on here that would have some really different snacks before I really drove it home. My Holy Ghost better be filled with snacks.
I will get you European snacks, and I will get you some really good salt.
Nice. That's awesome. Heel folk, we love you. Thanks for tuning in again. Boys, I love y'all. Jason, we love you too.
Yeah. I love you too, guys.
Love you guys. Mean it.
Love you guys.
Love you, heel folk. And until next time, we'll see y'all later.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.